Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Reminded, and as we reminded each other, you know, we really don't know what everybody's facing sitting here today. We don't know what's in everybody's mind, and you never really know no one. Can I say that again? We think we know people, but we never really know them. We never really know what they're faced with. And, you know, a lot of times we're real good at coming to church with a smile on our face and acting like everything's all right. But really, truthfully, deep down inside, it's not. You know, a preacher, a lot of times, and I tell this to our guys out of the church all the time, and whenever you go to the pulpit, man, you put a smile on your face. You dress your best. You put a smile on your face. Because if I was to get up here this morning all down in the dumps and go, man, it's cloudy outside, and, well, I appreciate that good opening song, Brother Matt, but, boy, it's been an awful week, and it seems like all of hell's come up against me, and I just mumbled on for 10 minutes. You know what? It'd probably be a pretty awful service. Are you with me? But a lot of times, Brother Scotty, we're real good at acting like we've got everything together and we've got our life together, and, man, everything's wonderful, but you never really know what somebody's really facing. And I want to give you just some scripture today. I'm going to read a lot. I'm going to pray. I'm going to let you stand with me, and then I'm going to pray and let you be seated. Let's stand this morning. I know we usually stand through all of the reading, but I'm going to read a lot this morning, so I'm not going to ask you to remain standing the whole time. Father, I love you. Please help us today. God, I need you. God, I pray, Lord, that your will and way would be done. God, I know that I've failed you this week. God, I know that I've missed the mark, and I pray, God, that you would forgive me for that. I pray, God, that you cleanse me from it. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help me to be a help to your people today. God, there's people sitting here that's hurting. There's people sitting here probably that's lost. I pray, God, that through the preaching of thy word, Lord, that they would find help and they'd find strength. They would find comfort, Father. Lord, I can't help them in myself today. There's nothing that I can say by myself, Lord, that can help anybody. But, God, may we look at some truths out of your word. And God, from your word, may we find help today. And I'll give you the thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. I'm going to begin in Job chapter number 1. And normally I just read two or three verses and give you a thought. But really, we need to read a lot this morning to understand what is happening in the book of Job. Job chapter number 1, verse number 1 says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. There was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Now, you know what that means? Here's the way Brother Milton Taylor would say it. It means what it says and says what it means. That means that he was the greatest of all of the men of the East of that day. He was not only the greatest financially, but I believe that we're going to see that he was the greatest spiritually also. Note what he says in verse number 4. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, and sent and called their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of all of them. For Job said, It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain thy servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away. Yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house. And behold, there was a great wind from the wilderness, and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Chapter 2, verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, "From whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth now thine hand," or "put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." So went Satan from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to the scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? Now watch this, and shall not receive evil. And all this did not Job sin with his lips. Job said, should God be good to us? Should God bless us? Should we not experience the blessings of God and there not be some storms along the way? That's practically what Job is saying. Now, I'm not quoting him verbatim. I just read it to you. But he's simply saying this. God is good, and God is good all the time. And even though there is storms in our life, God is still good. I want to look at this man by the name of Job for just a few minutes this morning and talk to you about him. In these verses today, the 32 verses that I've read to you, man, there is so much that can be said. We can talk about the conversation that God and Satan is having. We can talk about Satan's accountability still to God today, because Satan presents himself back before God and gives an account of what he is doing as he's walking to and fro in the earth here in Job chapter number 1 and in chapter number 2. We can talk about what God had to say about Job. You know, it's interesting that God says this in chapter number 1, verse number 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then he says in verse number 3 of chapter number 2, the exact same thing practically. And he says, just because you've touched everything around him, he's not changed. We could talk about Job remaining the same. But I want to give you three simple words about the life of Job this morning, and maybe we can learn something. Number one, I see Job the warrior. I see Job the warrior. Now, let me explain what I'm saying. Immediately, our mind may go to the battlefield today, or we may go to someone in the military. But you'll find that Job is in a battle that was unlike any other. Job is not in a quote-unquote physical battle. Job is in a mental battle. Job is in a spiritual battle in his life. I believe that we can all agree that sometimes a mental battle is worse than a physical battle. We find that Job is a warrior here. When we begin to look at Job, there's something interesting said about him. I said this previously in reading the text, but let me say it again. The Bible said that there was none like him in the East. I believe that Job was the wealthiest man, but I also believe that Job was not only the most spiritual man in that part of the country, but I personally believe when we read this and see what God says about Job right here, there is none nowhere in the world at that present time that's any closer to God than Job is. Matter of fact, the Bible says there is none like him in that day. Can I just say this to you today? If I could bring it into our dispensation, or if I could bring it into the day and age in which we live, Job was a man that loved God. Job was not only a man that loved God, Job was a man that loved his family. Job was a man that raised his family right. Job was a man that didn't send his family to church. Job was a man that took. Are you with me? That took his family to church. He didn't put them on a bus and send them to church. He didn't encourage them to go to the house of God. But if I could say it in our day, I believe that Job was a man that took his family to the house of God. Job was a man, no doubt we know this, Job was a man that prayed for his family. Matter of fact, when his children are doing wrong, where do we find Job at? We find Job praying for them, and we find Job sacrificing for them. In other words, man, Job was the right kind of man. Job loved God. Job loved his family. Job loved his wife. I believe that in all of my heart. Job loved the church. Job loved God. Job loved life in general, I believe. I believe that whenever you look and you read about Job and you look at his integrity, you look at his character over this 1 year period of his life, I believe that Job was the right kind of man. I believe that if it was in our day and age and Job was a member at Amazing Grace, he was here for Sunday school, he would be here for preaching, he would be here on Sunday night, he'd be here on Wednesday night, he'd be here at every work day, he'd be here at every visitation, he'd be here at every revival, he'd be here at every special prayer meeting. Job was a man that was in his place and he was serving God. But sometimes we have this false assumption in our mind. Just because we're going to church doesn't mean that everything's always going to be all right. Are you hearing me this morning? Just because we read our Bible every day, and we should, somebody say amen, doesn't mean that our day is going to be great. Just because we start every morning with prayer doesn't mean that everything's going to be all right that day. Man, Job was a greater Christian probably than any person sitting in this room today. Job was serving God and living for God. Job was a warrior, but number two, Job was wounded. Job was wounded. Man, when we read this story, I couldn't imagine. As I read down through this over and over this week, chapter number 1 and the first 10 verses of chapter number 2, as I read down through this over and over and over again, something kept jumping out to me. And I only am escaped to tell thee. And I only am escaped to tell thee. And I only am escaped to tell thee. And I only 4 times am escaped to tell thee. In other words, Job wakes up one morning. Job maybe gets him some biscuits and gravy, starts his day and thanks the Lord for it. Walks out through the fields and looks at all of the, and in those days the wealth was measured in their livestock, if you want to look at it that way. Brother Lloyd, he looks at all of the livestock that he's got there. Maybe he walks around to see if there's any new babies that's been born during the night. I don't know. But Job starts his day as an ordinary day. Job wakes up one morning, and it's an ordinary day. But little did he know that his ordinary day is fixing to get turned upside down. I thought about this as you read down through there. And as one finished talking, here come another. And as they finished talking, here come another. And as they finish talking, here come another. And as they finish talking, here come another. I guess probably the closest thing that personally that I can remember that's anywhere even close to this, and some of y'all will remember this, but it was about a year or a year and a half that Brother Kevin and Miss Nicole, man, I was afraid to answer the phone from them. Man, they had a son pass away, a car fell on Kevin, the house caught on fire. Man, I'm telling you, it's just one thing right after another, right after another, right after another. Hear me this morning. Because we're in church today doesn't mean we're not going to have a bad day. Just because we're living for Jesus does not mean that we're exempt from the troubles of this life. I read this week, and I found this statement very interesting. It said, very rarely does our most imaginable what if moment ever come to life? Have you ever had those days where you had what if days? Have you ever laid down at night and you had those nights of what if nights? I remember whenever we was traveling some, and since COVID and the church growing and everything, I've not preached out near as much. I love being here. I love being, I could preach out more, but I love being here. But I remember when I was traveling quite a bit, and very, very few times will I travel by myself. You say, well, why are you like that? Well, the Bible says make no provisions for the flesh, and I'm just going to try my best. You say, well, are you not strong enough to travel by yourself? No, nobody is, honestly. We're all weak in the flesh, amen. But there was a few times, and Brother Lloyd, there'd be times I'd be sitting in a motel room at night, and I think, you know what, somebody's probably breaking in my house right now. Somebody's probably killing my children right now. Somebody's probably killing my wife right now. Y'all don't look at me like I'm crazy. We have those what-if moments that play through our mind. I'll never forget the first time that Madeline and Olivia drove off together. As they left the driveway and started, they was just going to Dairy Queen to get ice cream. But you know what? Most people, I read this when we lived in East Bend. It says most fatal accidents happen within 5 miles of your home. So we moved up here to keep that from happening to us. Y'all will get that in a little bit. But they was just going right down the road. But man, they no more than got out of my sight, Brother DC. I what if the whole time. What if this? What if that? What if this? What? You know what? You go to the doctor, and they say, hey, we saw something on the X-ray. Well, if you're like me, Bob Moody's already on his way. I'm just going to tell you, man, I'm a hypochondriac. I take my fever 3 times a day. David or Daniel prayed 3 times a day. I pray and take my fever 3 times a day. Boy, not long after I was recovering from that meningitis, Brother Robert, one day I went in there and I took my fever and I told Leslie and Madeline, I said, it's dumb, thermometers quit working. And they said, what do you mean it's quit working? I said, it don't work anymore. I said, it's supposed to go beep whenever it's done. And Madeline said, do it again, Dad. So I stuck it up to my head, Miss Morgan, and I said, see there? It's broke. And she said, you don't hear that? I said, it don't work. She said, try it on the other side. And I put it on the other side, Brother Danny, and it works fine on my right side, but it don't work on my left side. I don't know what happens when it goes over here. You know what? The girl said, you need to go to the audiologist to figure out why you can't hear on that side. It actually works out to an advantage every once in a while. Are you with me? But we go to the doctor and they say, hey, we saw this or we saw that. And honestly, if you're like me, you what if it to death. I mean, I'm never going to see my family again. I'm never going to make it out of the doctor's office. I'm going to die right there. But very rarely does our worst what if moment really come to pass. Take Job's worst what if moments times 5, and it happened. I've got 3 children, and thankfully all 3 of my children are healthy. But Brother Tim, I couldn't imagine somebody knocking on my door in the middle of the night tonight and saying, hey, Madeline was at work tonight and something happened to her. We don't know what happened, but we just come to let you know she's dead. I couldn't imagine it. But could you imagine a knock coming on your door and all 10 of your children dead at one time? All 10 of them at one time. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. Man, Job is wounded. We can act like things don't bother us all that we want to, but the truth of the matter is this, they do. We can act like we've got everything together, and sometimes we may, but the biggest part of the time, if we're really honest within ourselves, we're walking around wounded individuals in the service of God. Why did this happen? Why did it go this way? Why am I facing this? Why is my child putting me through this? I've tried to live right. I've tried to do right. Is anybody hearing a preacher this morning? I've tried to serve the Lord. I've tried to be faithful. God, why am I here? I said this last Sunday night, and I'll deal more with grief along these lines tonight. But we was never created to experience grief. Grief is not normal for us. We was created to live in a perfect world and in a perfect environment. And every bit of our grief can be traced back to one thing. And it stems from one thing. It stems from sin. No, Job wasn't necessarily living in sin. But grief is a product of sin. And we're never going to get away from that. We will be wounded along the way. Now, I've said all that to get to right here this morning and talk to you just a second about this. What will we do when we get wounded? We will. We will. The past 3 or 4 weeks, I preach salvation every Sunday morning, and I'd plan to again today, but the Lord just changed my thought. We will get wounded. I want you to hear what I'm fixing to say to you. I want you to hear me this morning. I'm going to slow down for about the next 2 hours, and then we'll go home. If you go to church very long at all, somebody's going to do you wrong. Are you hearing me this morning? Somebody's going to do you wrong. Somebody at the church house will upset you. Somebody at the church house. And we live in a day, I want you to listen to me this morning, okay? I'm just trying to obey God. We live in a day where people will go anywhere else that someone offends them but church. We live in a church hurt society. Is church hurt real? Absolutely. Absolutely. It's awful. We shouldn't go through it. We shouldn't deal with it. A pastor should never deal with it in his life personally. His wife should never deal with it. His wife should never deal with it. His children should never deal with it. Let me tell you the reason so many preachers' kids go a different direction is because they see the way people treat their mom and dad. But the truth of the matter is this, we're going to deal with it. We're going to get wounded somewhere along the way, Brother Scotty. Somebody at church is not going to say something, or they are going to say something. Somebody help the preacher this morning. We'll get done. The truth of the matter is we'll get wounded. Even though we may be in the center of God's will, even though we may be doing what's right, and I'm not just talking about a grief and a suffering from loss, but I'm going to tell you something. We get wounded at the church house by those who are supposed to be spiritual. We get wounded. But what are we going to do with the wound? What are we going to do with it? Job has an option in his life. Job sits at a place where his whole life, let's just be honest, his whole life is taken away from him. So what? He's got his one house. I don't mean this ugly. Hear me out. But his wife's mad at God. I'm not judging her. I don't know how I would be. I don't know what I would say. But she's mad at God. And she's telling Job, you might as well curse God and die. So you know what she's done? She's turned her back on God and turned her back on Job. She says, man, you just need to commit suicide. Curse God and die. Says, you might as well just go kill yourself, man. There's no hope in this. Job is at an awful spot in his life. But number three, I'll leave you with one last word. Even though Job was a warrior, even though Job was wounded, Job chose to worship. Job chose to worship. Whenever tragedy comes, and I'm going to preach two sides of this, so stay with me. Whenever tragedy comes in our life and grief comes in our life, our first response a lot of times is this: somebody needs to pray. Somebody please pray. Very rarely, I deal with a lot of tragedy. Any biggest 99% of the time, if there's a major tragedy in this county, I'm there. And probably 99.5, 99.6% of those times, Brother Elijah, people's always open to prayer. I tell them who I am. I'm a chaplain coordinator for Surrey County Sheriff's Office. Is there something I can do for you? Is there somebody I can call? Do you have a pastor? You go through the routine of all of those things. And then before you leave, you always say this: are you okay with me having prayer with you and your family? I can think of one time in the past 6 years that somebody said no. So the biggest part of the time, we run to God. We want people to pray. We're asking for prayer. But the problem is this: when the situation don't turn around, in other words, their family members being taken to the hospital, they're seeking God, wanting God to help their family member, but then all of a sudden their family member don't make it, then they switch and there's an anger towards God. Job immediately runs to God in his storm. Immediately he does. Satan is the one, watch this, Satan is the one that has wreaked havoc in Job's life. But God allowed Satan to do it. Satan could not have done it without the approval of God, because he asked God if he could, and then acknowledged, Satan himself acknowledged that God put a hedge about everything that Job had. He says, the only way I can touch him is if you let me. And God let him. And you know what Job done? He worshiped. Satan goes back to God, asks God again, hey, let me touch him, and he'll curse you to your face. God says, well, just don't kill him. Satan goes back again with the permission of God and touches him again. And what does Job do? Job looks at his wife, and he says, you speak as a foolish woman. There's no way I'm going to curse God. What did Job decide to do when he was wounded? He decided that he would worship. I want you to see something in closing. When you start playing softly, and I know I'm preaching different this morning, but that's okay. Job said this: the Lord gave, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Three different times, he don't know nothing about the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. He don't know, matter of fact, he probably don't even have a clear presentation that Jesus is coming one day, because it's the oldest book in the Bible. I understand in the canon, Genesis comes first. But when you study historically, Job's probably the oldest book in the Bible. There's a lot of things I can talk to you about that, but I'm not going to. You know what he decides he's going to do? He decides that he's going to worship. Now here is where we're different than Job. Are you listening to me? Here's where we're different than Job. Brother Brian, how many times you heard something like this, okay? You walk up to somebody, man, I'm praying for you. I appreciate it, boy. You know, the devil's really been on my back. The devil's really fighting me right now. Seems like everything the devil's got, he's thrown against me right now. Boy, all of hell's raging against me right now. Boy, the devil, he's a whooping on us. So pray for me. How many times have we heard that? Come on, let's be honest now. Don't everybody get all holy. How many times do we say that? Boy, the devil's giving me a hard time right now. Well, you know what? The devil was giving Job a hard time. He's killed all 10 of his children. He's killed all of his servants but three or four. He's taken every bit of his wealth from him. And you know what? There came a time for Job to talk about the situation. And you know what Job says, Brother Scotty? He don't say, boy, the devil's been on my back lately. Anybody hearing the preacher this morning? Boy, the devil's been giving me a hard time, and I just don't know what I'm going to do because it seems like all of hell's come out against me. You know what Job does? Job says this. When it comes up time for Job to talk, not one time will you find that Job says one thing or one word or even mentions Satan or the devil or hell itself. But you know what Job does? Job says this. I've got time to talk, so here's what I'm going to say. The Lord's been good to me. The Lord has blessed me. I may not understand it all, but God's still God. God's still holy. God's still pure. God's still righteous, and I choose to worship Him while I'm wounded. Chapter 2, look at verse 8. I studied this a lot this week. I've made reference to this before, but and he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal. Why? Because he's got boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. The Bible said this, and he sat down among the ashes. Sat down among the ashes. What ashes is that? Where's he at? What's going on in his life right there? There's a couple predominant places that they could have been ashes. One was just right outside the city gate at the dung hill where they took all the waste and burned it. Job's not lost his mind. You hear me? Job's still sensible. So why would a man with wounds from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet go sit down at the dung hill? I don't believe that's where he's at. There's another place that, now think about what he's saying. He sat down among the ashes. It was all around him. Could have been where they burnt some of his things. We studied chapter number 1. He could have sat down in the midst of that and reminisced what was once there. Or there's a third place, and I really believe this is where it's at. You remember what Job done in chapter number 1? The Bible said that he sacrificed for his children. When you study that out from everything that I can study, there was more than likely a burnt offering. It was a sin sacrifice. It was a burnt offering. And we know that that's when God met with Job, was when he was making that sacrifice and seeking forgiveness, not only for him and for his wife, but for his children also. And it was the time that Job spent worshiping the Lord. It was different than our day. Let me tell you what I believe that Job's at in chapter number 2, verse number 8. And let me tell you where I believe that Job spends a year of his life find him sitting down several times. I believe Job goes back over there to where he made that sacrifice at. He goes back over there, can I just say it this way, to the altar. And he finds himself sitting in the ashes at the place where he was at the last time he heard from God. And I believe Job in his heart is saying something like this: Lord, the last time I was here, you met with me. Lord, the last time I was here, I was making sacrifice for my children. Lord, the last time I was here, I was worshiping you. The last time I was here, you spoke to me, God. Your presence was here with me. So God, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to park it right here on the altar. And I'm just going to sit here a while. And I'm just going to say something like this: Lord, I sure do love you. God, I want to thank you for my 10 children. God, I want to thank you for the years you let me enjoy them. God, I want to thank you for all the great memories that I have with them. God, thank you for all the wealth that you once blessed me with. God, thank you for my wife. I believe you probably even said something like this: Lord, I know she's a little crazy right now, but God, I pray that you'd help her. Lord, I think that I'm just going to stay right here at the place I heard from you the last time. Let me tell you what you need to do when you're wounded. You need to find your place back at the altar and say, you know what, Lord? I was right here the last time I heard from you. Lord, I heard your voice right here. God, you spoke to me right here. And God, what I'll choose to do in the midst of me being wounded, I'll choose to sit down in the midst of the ashes and I'll worship you in spite of the circumstances around me. Where's Job? I believe he's sitting at the altar. I believe he's sitting at the altar. And I believe he's thanking God for what it was. So I asked you this in closing: can you worship while you're wounded? Can you worship? Let me back up and rephrase it. Let me say it this way: will you worship while you're wounded? I'll give you one last illustration. You say, preacher, I needed three sub points this morning. It's all of God, okay? Go talk to the Lord about it. That's what he gave me to give you. May the 28th, 2016, is a day that a lot of us in this room never want to live again. It was the day when Brady, that was the life of our youth group, last time he was at church, he sat on the front row over in the old building, stood up and thanked God for saving him, talked about looking forward to youth camp, and man, he was the life of the party. He was the life of the party. I thought about him a lot this week. And Brother Kevin got to spend some time together late Wednesday night. And I thought about him a lot. That was the day that Brady went home to be with the Lord. 13 years old, tragic situation. I'll never forget me and Miss Vicky riding together that day to their house. I'll never forget where Brother Kevin and Miss Nicole was at in the yard when I got there. Make a long day short, we'd called the youth group together that afternoon. We had told the youth group about it, spent some time with them. Me and Miss Leslie went back over to their house. Brother Kevin had an old Toyota truck. He was sitting out there and he was standing out there by himself. I told Miss Leslie, I said, you can go on in the house. I said, I'm going to walk over here and talk to Brother Kevin. I walked over there, and I don't ask people how they're doing. You might not like what they say. I said, "How you holding up, buddy?" And here's what he said. I'll never forget it. Some of you have heard me tell this, but here's what he said. He said, "Preacher, the way that I'm making it," he said, "every once in a while, there's a little breeze comes through." That's all he said. You know what he was saying? He was saying this. In the midst of being wounded, the Spirit of God can still sweep through. Matter of fact, John talks about the wind. It's a type of the Holy Spirit of God. He was saying this, in the midst of all of it, I can still worship. In the midst of every bit of it, the Lord's still there. So you worshiping while you're wounded is a choice that you must make. We can all be the warrior when everything's going good. Can I say that again? We can all be the warrior when everything's going good. But being the worshiper while we're wounded will truly prove if we are a warrior.